A Problem Shared with Tony and Val on Kerry Today.
Yeah, keep your comments and views coming into us on the programme on 066 712 3666. You can text and WhatsApp us on 083 300 300. We want to hear from you on the programme. Tony and Val McGinley with us on the line. Good morning to both of you, and thanks for joining us again this morning.
Good morning, Jerry.
Great stuff. A couple of queries to get to on the programme. We'll start with this one. Whenever my son or daughter-in-law don't go along with a suggestion of mine, I always say that I don't mind. But to be honest, I'm very hurt for weeks after it. I want to respect their opinions, but is there anything to do to stop getting so hurt over it?
Yeah, I'll go first on this one, okay, Jerry. I don't know if there's anything to stop you getting hurt. I think the only thing we can do, really, to be quite honest with you, is kind of talk ourselves down on it and say, like, this is their opinion. And the son and daughter-in-law are now in their own relationship and they want to do things their way. So I think just kind of, like, if I feel hurt, say to myself, my heart is unrealistic. They have their right to their own. This is what growing up means. And, like, God bless them, they're being independent and they're making their own decisions. I think I need to honour it, which this listener says she does, and they do.
Okay. Tony?
Well, doing a little linguistic analysis here. I want to respect their opinions means you're not respecting their opinions. And if you can change your attitude to allow them to do whatever they want, they're living their own lives, they have their own beliefs, and you need to step back from that, because we all do it. I mean, I do it myself. We tend to impose our beliefs on the next generation. Now, that's normal when they're going to school and up to a certain point. But once they make up their own minds where they are, we can suggest things, but by all means, let go then at that stage. So you're not letting go. And as long as you're not letting go and respecting their opinion, you're going to feel something, whether it's hurt or some sort of dismay or whatever. So by really stepping back and allowing them to have their opinions and beliefs, that's the only way to do it, in my opinion.
Yeah. How do I step back and let go? That's my question.
That's something that we all have to learn. And to be honest with you, I think there's only one way, and that's the painful way. You need a kick in the arse, excuse my expression. And the world is getting a kick in the behind now at the moment. We're learning to do things in a different way. We have to respect, the climate change and everything else that's happening.
Yeah.
And I think, if you can give yourself that bit of a jolt, you will perhaps step over the line and let them have their opinions.
Yeah, you have to adapt and you have to change, I suppose. Okay, we've a query I wanted to return to at the end of last week. This one came in from a listener who said that they were at their wits' end with their husband. We're in our late 30s, no kids. He drinks 3 pints at home 5 nights a week. Says he hasn't a problem and says he likes to relax at the end of the day. He does work hard, but I'm starting to think he is a functioning alcoholic. His father and brother are the same. I do take a drink myself, but not that often. I'm starting to feel fear and anger about it. I voiced it to him how I feel about his actions in our home, but he keeps doing it. It's showing me red flags and no respect, or am I overreacting? Should I relax and get the grip for myself why I'm feeling the way I am, says this listener. So what do we think on reflection on this one?
I don't think you're making any mistake whatsoever. Anybody who's taking 3 pints a night on a regular basis has a problem. And that's in the story.
Maybe more at the weekend, perhaps, when work isn't the factor the next day.
Yeah, but to be taking 3 pints a night during a working week, it's just not right. You know, your system is out of gear, end of story.
But you're talking to the wall. In a way, to say, like, I would like you to do something about your drinking. So I don't think that that's the solution.
Well, the other solution is to pack your bags and leave. And, you know, that may be too radical for most people. But
yeah. The recommended intake of alcohol, this is from the health experts out there, is to drink no more than 14 units of alcohol per week spread across 3 days or more. That's about 6 pints of 4% strength beer. And this guy's way over that at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, I came across cases like that during my working life, and it's nearly impossible to talk to an alcoholic because they are totally blind to their behaviour. I once met a professional person who came to me covered in bruises, and they came with the bruises basically to try and get rid of the pain. And what had happened, I eventually found out, was they got so drunk that they fell down the stairs and lay the whole night, as it were, on the floor in the cold weather. And to talk to that person, a professional person working in a highly professional way in an organisation, and was, you know, at this stage kind of semi-retired, you can't get through it. It needs professional help to break that. And there's only one way, and that's, you know, to go and talk to other alcoholics who are professionals and can help them to break the habit.
Yeah, I think what you're saying there is the partner is not the person that can help in this situation.
Except yeah. that they can put their foot down and say that this needs to happen, end of story.
Yeah, but is that the point, I suppose, Val, the fact that the fact that they're not getting a response feels it's showing no respect, and it's showing up red flags for their relationship in all areas of it?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. And I don't know if they'll get a response, but because that's the thing about an alcoholic. To be quite honest with you, listeners, I think I'm a non-drinking alcoholic. No, I haven't had alcohol in maybe 50 or 60 years or 70, 60 years, 60, 50 years.
Yes.
But like, if it's Coke in front of me or whiskey or tea, it goes back at a slosh.
Yes.
So like, I can only thank God that I'm not into alcohol at the I don't intend to ever be into alcohol, but I'm not into alcohol.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a matter of communicating, and with an alcoholic who is locked into a system, it's worse or as bad as any drug. They are totally belong to that drug.
Yeah.
And unless there is some major intervention that helps them to see outside of that little world that they build for themselves, it's going to continue.
Okay, all right. And the number for Al-Anon for support in this is 01873 2699. 01873 2699. A brilliant resource for support for families and for people affected by those who are living with the problem of others who have alcohol dependency. Perry into us here for a problem here with Tony and Val McGinley, and it says our youngest child, she's 3 years of age, sometimes wanders off while I'm shopping. Suddenly she's not beside me. Now she won't be far away, but she puts the fear of God into my heart until I find her. Sometimes I'm very cross with her for going off. I don't want to be cross with her ever. I've tried explaining to her that it can't happen again, but so far I think I'm not taking so far I think I'm talking to the wall, says this listener.
Okay, I'll go first on this. I think you're not talking to the wall, but you are talking to a three-year-old child. And to be quite honest with you, if a three-year-old child could think like an adult, they would be getting a mortgage on their house and they'd be driving a car.
Yeah.
But society, at whatever level, recognises that a three-year-old isn't capable of doing this. Now, it's possible that I have a child in the family who I can talk to and that they take things on board and they won't do it again. So I think what I would do with this child is natural consequences. I would have, you know, one of those leads on, you know, like that ties around my wrist and ties around her wrist.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know there's modern ones now. When I was younger, they used to be ones like a reins, they were. But these are our modern ones. Because, to be quite honest with you, listener, you can't risk her walking off. It's a no-go area. You're absolutely right. And I commend you for not wanting to get cross with the child. And I can understand why you do get cross with the child, because it will put the heart crossways on you. So I would think that I would invest in this kind of a leash, which goes around my wrist and her wrist or the child's wrist. And I would keep it, like I would say, what I would do is I would say, either you stay beside me or this goes on both of us. I wouldn't say on you, I would say on both of us. And the next time the child wanders off, I would just put the leash on, no matter how much they would object, and say, you can have another go again in a week's time or a month's time or whatever.
Yeah. Or if they had the choice, you could arrange to have somebody mind the child while you went shopping, and the child will not like that. And it can be used, as it were, as leverage. If the child runs off, then you say, well, next time you're not coming. And, you know, there are various ways of that. But the actual harness, I think, is a very good idea. I remember 40-odd years ago, maybe more, 50 years ago, we had that experience. One of our kids went missing and was missing for a good half hour.
In Limerick City.
I mean, I was literally days getting over the shock.
Oh, yeah. Nothing worse.
Really, yeah. Now, luckily, I mean, he walked up across by the Shannon River and an older gentleman spotted him. He said, kids are always running out of the store and up along. And he brought him back and he had a little treat got from him and everything. But, you know, it could have equally been the other end of the story.
No, that was easily 40 or 50 years ago. It's a different scenario out there now.
Yeah.
Or it's much more dangerous. I mean, there are more deviants, just to put it mildly, out there who are totally prepared to take advantage.
Yeah,
I wouldn't say you stay at home. I would say I would give the child a choice. Either you stay next to me, or we'll have to make other arrangements, and you're not coming shopping with me. You know,
okay.
Like I would put it that way. That is the child's choice, and I would be ready to kind of let it happen once, but not happen again. I would say no. This is
consequences now because of that. Yeah. That's a fair point. Okay, we're out of time, guys. Thanks again for another great show. Tony and Val McGinley with A Problem Shared. More questions for them if you want.